I'm going to finish up the month when we're talking about kindness. Quite a few years ago, I ran across an interesting article by Emily Smith. It was originally published in The Atlantic back in 2014, I should say. And it's titled, Science Says Lasting Relationships Come Down to Two Basic Traits. It was about the factors that show whether a relationship would survive or not. And the two basic traits that they concluded that was needed for a marriage to survive was that of kindness and generosity. It made a number of good points, important points, but I realized, you know, this is not just about marital relationships. You know, the same factors are basically found in any relationship. Whether we're talking about those within the church, those on your workplace, as well as those that are in the family. One of the things that was pointed out was that when relationships break down, people who are involved get physically revved up. They might look calm, but the researchers found quicker heart rates, increased sweat, things that show that they were revved up. In other words, their bodies were going into fight or flight mode. When they deal with the other person, they are either preparing to attack or getting ready to be attacked. And that attitude made make couples more aggressive toward each other. Why don't you start talking about your day? It won't take you very long. And as a result, that anger begins to spread. Take a look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. People who are able to maintain good relationships are calm and feel connected to the other person. And that translates to warm and affectionate behavior. Even when they fought, no, what we desire is kindness. It's according to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. And it is better to be a poor man than a liar. What we really want from other people is the kindness that's present in everyone. That ought to be present in everyone. And in Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs 16 and in verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words are what's beneficial to other people and what we ought to desire for other people. There's a climate of trust and intimacy that makes both people more comfortable. And if you remember when Paul defines love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, he's talking about the love between brethren. But he says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The article mentioned that in one study throughout the day, partners would make requests for connections. For example, say the husband is a bird enthusiast and notices a goldfinch fly across the yard. He might say to his wife, look at that beautiful bird outside. He's not just commenting on the fact that there's a bird outside. He's requesting a response from his wife, a sign of interest or support, hoping they'll connect, however momentarily, over a bird. And as minor as it might sound, the husband thought it was important enough to bring up in a conversation. So how will the wife respond? See, couples with rocky relationships have basically one or three responses. Sometimes they just don't respond at all. A person who responds to a bid to converse by mumbling, uh-huh, and focus on the tablet or the television. Or someone wants to mention good news. I got into medical school. And is greeted by, that's nice. While checking his watch. Neglect creates distance between people. And it breeds resentment. But another choice that sometimes people do is not they don't respond at all, but they just respond with the minimum. And then continue on doing whatever they're doing. So we go back to that. I got into med school. And he responds, you won't believe this, but I won a free t-shirt today. Or the third option is they might act and respond hostily. I got into med school. And he responds, how are you going to handle all that studying? What about the cost? Med school is too expensive. But couples with solid relationships will stop what they are doing and respond with interest. Couples who divorced during the six-year study period only responded with interest 33% of the time. Couples who stayed together responded with interest 89% of the time. Now, keep that in mind in our relationships with each other, not just family relationships, though this is lessons definitely one for keep me reminding me what I need to do. But take a look at Romans chapter 12 and our relationships with each other, our relationships with other people. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. When you stop and take interest in whatever the other person's interested in, you're giving preference to that person. And down in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Being there for each other when things go right is very important. It's not just when things go wrong, but when things go right. And so you go back to the illustration. I got into med school. And he responds, that's great. When did you find out? When do you start? Now there's interest. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. And look at verse 30. Bright eyes gladdens the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. You know, how people view the other person affects how they're going to act. Their expectations. Do they view the other person with kindness and generosity? Or they view the other person with contempt and criticism and hostility? How they view, how they expect the relationship to go is typically the way they actually act. In good relationships, the people are constantly looking for things that they can appreciate and express gratitude over. They purposely build an environment of respect and appreciation. Now take a look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32, and in verse 8, it says, the noble man devises noble plans, and by noble plans he stands. And interestingly, the New King James, and the King James says, by generosity, he devises generous plans. The generous devises generosity. They look for opportunities. They think about how they're going to benefit other people. Kindness makes each person feel like they're cared for, that they're understood, or modern-day parlance, they're validated. The more someone receives and sees kindness, the more they are kind in turn. That's their natural impulse. Somebody yells at you, they tend to yell back. But when somebody's kind to you, guess what? It works the other way too. They tend to be more kind to others. The more someone receives and sees kindness, the more they're kind in turn. And so the worthy woman in Proverbs 31, and in verse 26 it says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She spreads kindness. She shows and teaches others how to be kind. You know, with that, we ought to be generous with our view of other people's intentions. We talk about expectations. We can take something minor. Say, like assuming this husband left the toilet seat up because he had too many things on his mind and just simply forgot. No, often another person is trying to do the right thing, even if it's done poorly. And what we ought to do is appreciate the intent. So, say when your son unexpectedly cleans up the kitchen, don't mention that he missed wiping off the stove. Focus on what went right. Take a look at what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And yes, sometimes dealing with some people requires a lot of patience. But we need the kindness. Now, in bad relationships, people are always looking for mistakes. They delight in scorning. In fact, take a look at what it says in Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, and in verse 22. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. That's not wisdom when we look for faults in other people. In fact, one of the statements in the article is, contempt is the number one factor that tears couples apart. Isaiah mentions in Isaiah 57 and in verse 4, Against whom do you jest? Against whom do you open wide your mouth and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of rebellion, offspring of deceit? We have people, way too many people, worldly people, who make other people the brunt of jokes. They mock them. They make fun of them. You see it constantly on the school ground play yards. You see it on the streets. People will make fun of anything different just to make fun of them. But that doesn't build a relationship. People focused on criticizing miss half of the positive things the other person's doing. Because nobody's perfectly bad. And all they see are the negative things, even when none exist. Because they're expecting there to be negatives. So they try to find something, and even if there's not one there, they'll make one fit. And is there a surprise that relationships don't survive? Go back to that trivial illustration, for example. Assuming the husband left the toilet seat up to deliberately annoy his wife. Or the wife is late for dinner, a dinner date. And the husband assumes that she doesn't value him enough to show up on time. Even after he made reservations and left work early just for this date. Never stopping to think, well, it could be that she stopped to get him a gift and the line was longer than she expected at store. So we just jump to the negative and never give credence that there might be a positive. Again in Isaiah 58, look at verses 9 and 10. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking of wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. Notice that there is a problem with people pointing fingers, accusing others, assuming the worst. And some of these verses mention it even affects your health. The relationships filled with contempt and criticism reduces the other person's ability to fight out viruses and cancers. Take a look what the proverb writer said in Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and in verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. There are several warnings about a contentious wife in Proverbs 21. Contentious is someone who's never satisfied, always looking for a fault. That's what that word means. And in Proverbs 21 and verse 19, it says, it is better to live in the desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. It's difficult to live with anybody who's constantly pointing out your faults. Instead, we should be exercising kindness. In fact, think of it as a muscle that grows stronger the more you use it. A good relationship requires sustained hard work. So even when you're tired and stressed, distracted, you still need to respond positively to the other person. As Jesus points out in Acts chapter 20, and in verse 35, In everything I showed you by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's not necessarily the giving of gifts or giving your spouse a back rub. The most important acts of kindness are the way people interact daily. You give kindness with your attention. You can be generous with your assumptions about the other person's attentions. The Hebrew writer reminds us in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and in verse 16. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And all that we do with everyone we interact with, especially with our brethren, but should be with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, with those on a job, we should be focusing on making the other person better. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the needs of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You know, the hardest time to be kind is during a fight. But it's also the most important time to be kind. We were talking about it, the adult class, the church in Rome, and had members who were Jews as well as Greeks, and it sounded like they weren't always getting along the way they ought to. And Paul says in Romans chapter 15, and in verse 1, now we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just to please ourselves. No, when these things are happening, it doesn't mean you're not angry. But kindness changes how you choose to express yourself. You can throw spears or you can explain why you disagree. Going back to Proverbs, take a look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and in verse 21. It says, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Do you add fuel to the fire or do you dampen it? Again, for example, in a bad relationship, you're late. What's wrong with you? You're just like your mom. In a good relationship, perhaps the answer is, you know, it's annoying when you're repeatedly late. So what happened? No assumptions are being made. Just telling how it feels and asking for more information. As stated in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says that we need patience. When we deal with other people, patience is necessary. We urge you, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And it does make a difference. In a 2006 study by Shelley Gable, she found that the only difference between couples who were together and those who broke up was whether they actively and constructively responded in conversation. Did they actually take part of the conversation? And were they constructive in what they said? Now, in Psalms, we read in Psalms 112, Psalms 112, and in verse 5, it is well with a man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld, and he will not fear, until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. You don't often think about that. Our attitude towards other people, our generosity, our expectations, they bring about stability in our life. It really comes down to whether you are seeking to build things up or you're trying to tear it down. Again, in Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14 and in verse 1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Sometimes we just make ourselves miserable. But we should be people who are making others better, because that benefits us as well. I hope you'll think about these things. There's an opportunity today to change the way we live. Jesus offers an opportunity for us to follow his will, to learn from his teachings, to become better people. If there's any who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.
Jesus, the loving shepherd, cometh thee now to come.